Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought from our archives, a recent message. Let's go ahead and listen to part two now. I want to encourage you to join us at Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville.
It's the sin that God hates. God loves man, but it's the sin in man that God hates. In order to correct the different conjectures, ideas, or notion man has concerning God, God manifests himself in the light of the gospel and shows man that he is not an unapproachable or unfathomable God. In order to correct the different conjectures man has concerning God, God manifests himself in the light of the gospel to show man that he is not unapproachable or unfathomable. Does that make sense? The greatest problem the world has is that it thinks that God or a God always harbors evil intentions for man. Fallen mankind cannot comprehend a God of love. pagan view of their false gods was one of anger and hostility that always needed to be appeased by sacrifice. That God was vindictive, that he harbored no compassion and no long suffering. All the religions of the world, let's look at the Aztec Indians, the Aztecs and the Mayans. They built temples and they sacrificed human life over and over and over again to appease the gods. They sacrificed human life because man, without the gospel, without the word of God, we would always think we have to appease the gods to keep them, or appease God to keep him happy with us by bringing some kind of sacrifice. But God sacrificed his own son because of love. God loves man. The second aspect of the love of God, Roman numeral 4 in your notes. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only son, his only begotten son, into the world that we might live through him. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. God manifested. The manifestation of God's love is in his son. The love of God is an unconditional love that emanates from him like the rays of light emanate from the sun. It fills the whole earth. Where there is love, there must also be the object of that love. God is love speaks of his nature. God so loved the world speaks of his action. Okay? There has to be the object of love. If man didn't sin, how would God show man his love? If man didn't sin in the Garden of Eden, how would God show his love? The scriptures here in John 4:16, and we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. We know and believe the love of God has to us. God is love. Roman numeral 4, the third aspect of the love of God, the expression of God's love. The expression of God's love. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does commendeth mean? It means committed his love towards us, presented favorably his love towards us, in that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God shows us his love through his son. God's love has an expression. Unless love is expressed, it is not consummated, means it is not completed or perfected. Unless love is expressed, it is not consummated or perfected, means completed. If there is love, it must be expressed. Love is expressed through action. Love expressed is the completion of love. Love is complete once it is consummated. God the Father and Jesus Christ made a way of salvation for man that man could not do for himself. Let me read that again. God the Father and Jesus Christ made a way of salvation for man that man could not do for himself. Man could not save himself. And if God was dead, life would have been extinguished a long time ago. Life on this earth would not have lasted for very long. Grace Grace is love expressed. Grace is love expressed. The difference between love and grace lies in the fact that love is within and grace is without. Love is primarily an inward feeling, while grace is an outward act. Does that make sense? Love is primarily an inward feeling, while grace is an outward act. When love is turned into action, it becomes grace. When grace is traced back to its source, it is love. Without love, grace cannot come into being. Grace exists because love exists. Grace exists. We sing that beautiful song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Grace is the act of love upon the destitute. Only when there is deprivation and destitution, when there is no way for one to solve his problems on his own, is love realized as grace. Since we are fallen, lost, and perishing sinners, we have a serious problem, and we have no way to solve our problem. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Notice it doesn't say by love ye are saved. By grace ye are saved. That's the outward expression of God's love. The emphasis in Scripture is on the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see that those, a lot of your passages, it won't talk about the love of Jesus Christ. It talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it always talks about the love of God. So it's the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. John writes, and you don't have this in your notes, 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father, or God, the Father, God the Father, the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. See, we are called the sons of God. So God doesn't have one son, only one son. He has only one begotten son. He has many through adoption. The action of God's love was that Christ, the Son of God, laid down his life for us. Jesus' expression of love through his crucifixion was grace. Jesus' expression of love through his crucifixion was grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and I, his friends, because the Father loved the world. Greater love hath no man than this. Man has such a perverted version of love. And we see that in marriage. Marriage is an evident of men who marry a woman and then after a period of time, I love somebody else. Or it happens in the other direction. Marriage and man, we have limited love. We have to discipline ourselves and teach ourselves to love the way God wants us to love. But we see the world the way the world lives. Today, most men and women just live together. And they leave when, well, I'm not in love with you anymore. We'll just part, go our separate ways. But God's love is continuous. It's endless. It's enduring. Roman numeral 6 in your notes. Pure faith in God's unconditional love brings everlasting life. Pure faith. What do I mean by pure faith? Not mingled with works. Repentance, baptism, are all part of the sanctification process. But God doesn't say you have to repent in order to be saved. It's purely by faith. Pure faith in God's unconditional love brings everlasting life. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace requires nothing from man and expects nothing from man. You know, I'm having a hard time getting an Articles of Faith in our website. And there's one of the Articles of Faith, one of the points is the perseverance of the saints. Reformed theology has a very distorted view of faith and perseverance of the saints. Basically, what they're saying, and some of them you read, it's really bad. Basically, they're saying, if you don't show works in your life until you take your dying breath, then you weren't truly saved. That's salvation by works, only the works is at the end. You have to, well, did I work hard enough to get saved? No. Salvation is purely by faith. The minute you believe, you are saved. Works is something you do after. That's the sanctification. That's what I talked about last week. It doesn't matter. The Bible says there's going to be those who fall away. And those who are not overcomers. That's all dealing with sanctification. That the process of sanctification is different than the process of justification, redemption. Redemption is pure faith. And we persevere by what we've been learning Wednesday nights about prayer and staying in God's word and being obedient to the Lord and persevering and asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what gives us the strength to persevere. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's power. Because as we talked about last time, you and I could easily walk away from the Lord. Every one of us in this room, we just stop going to church. After 1 year, stop going to church and see where you are. We have a decay process. We have a decay. Not only is our material part of our body decaying, our joints, our brain cells, our skin cells, our hair cells, they're decaying and falling away. They're deteriorating. Well, that same thing happens spiritually. And we have to come to the rejuvenation center, which is the church. Be rejuvenized. Get rejuvenation, you know. I can't afford to go to those day spas, but I need it. I need those day spas. But that only works on the physical. This is the day spa that you need to be in to work on the spiritual. the spiritual aspects of our lives. So that's why it's so important. Grace requires nothing from man and expects nothing from man. That wouldn't be grace. Well, now I gave you something. Now you got to give me something back. That's not grace. Grace is giving something without expecting anything in return. It's like saying, you know, you got these homeless that are all over the sides of the highways and asking for money. Hey, I'll give you some money. You wash my windshield. You put air in my tire. Then I'll give you some money. No, grace is just giving them some money to help them along. Some are legit, some are not. Man, by his free will, can choose to believe it or not. Another thing wrong with Reformed theology. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some may not understand Reformed theology. But Reformed theology is Calvinism. In Reformed theology, they believe that man is so depraved that we can't even make the choice to accept God. God has to reach down and put it into your mind to embrace him. And there's only the elect who will do so. No, you and I have a choice. We have a choice to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a choice to accept his word. We have a choice to walk in his word. We have a choice to come in the doors of the church and be here faithfully. We have that choice. We make choices all the time. Man isn't that depraved that he can't make choices. It's the choices that we make. So it is purely his choice. Man's external actions after faith can never negate his initial faith or the act of grace in his life. You know, I've been to a lot of funerals. I've done a lot of funerals. You know, people are laying there in the coffin. You know, those who are saved, everybody's rejoicing and excited, and they've gone home to receive their reward. They were faithful. But then I've heard people saying, well, they supposedly got saved, you know, when they were young and they didn't live it. You know, they didn't live it. You know, only God knows. Only God knows their choice. Only God. How we live our lives determines if we will receive rewards or not. And rule and reign with Christ, and influence other people around us for the Lord based on our walk and how we mirror his love. So man's external actions after faith can never negate his initial faith or the act of grace in his life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We learn in Romans 5, 20, 21, you don't have this in your notes, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace abounds where there is sin. Grace abounds where man is depraved. Roman numeral 7, to become a disciple. Now the Bible says, let me just go back a little bit. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. But God is much long suffering compared to you and I. God is patient. I had to learn patience. Anybody else want to admit that in life? Learn patience. You drive on New Jersey highways and road rage is instantaneously, okay? It's instantaneous. It just flows out of you. I've had to learn patience. To become a disciple, we are commanded to become like Christ and mirror his love in the world. We are commanded to become like Christ and mirror his love in the world. Now, these are commandments that we can choose to do or not do. That doesn't negate, were you saved or not? Unlike God, the natural man is filled with nothing but hate, as we read in that article at the beginning. Unlike God, the natural man, that means the unsaved man, the unregenerate man, naturally in our natural state, in our flesh, we are filled with nothing but hate. For us to love is extremely difficult. Underline these words. Love is a learned trait. Love is a learned trait. And in the unregenerate soul, love is conditional. Means we love because somebody else loves us. We don't have unconditional love. The natural man's idea of love stems from man's emotions, feelings, passions. This form of love is sensual. It fluctuates like the wind. For the disciple, love takes on a whole new meaning. It becomes part of the new nature which stems from the heart, the soul, and the mind. We learn this from the great commandment. For the believer who wants to go on and become a disciple, and there is definitely a distinction in Scripture, and I'll bear this out over time. Let's go to John chapter 8. Just a quick example. There is a difference between a believer and a disciple. John chapter 8, verse 30. Jesus is preaching here, and there are many listening to him. And it says in verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which, what? Believed on him. So he's talking specifically to those believers. Now, he didn't have an altar call. He didn't have them come forward and present them in front of everybody and say, these believed. He knew they believed. The Holy Spirit is revealing this information to John. But Jesus says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.